Message 2 of the August 2022 High School Sisters Conference at the Church in Richardson.
Called on me, save me. Amen. Amen.
Oh, it's a person.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
All you want is an open door.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm
Lord. Amen. We turn to you this morning, Lord.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Lord, I'm ready to be filled.
Amen. I'm ready to be filled.
Oh, Lord, fill us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for meeting our every need.
Amen.
Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, you're the most precious one.
Amen.
We're going to sing a song that's not in the packet, and the brothers who are doing the slides, if you can hear me, if you could go to the next slide. So there's four verses. We're going to sing Never Did I Dream Before. So those of you who are playing the guitar, you might need to look up the chords here. And then after we sing the song, maybe some could just spontaneously pray. Pray over what we sang, pray over or pray for the message this morning, and then we'll get started. Okay? Amen. More mingling, more building. Amen. Okay, we're going to get started with message 2 in your outline. Let me set my timer here.
Okay, so let's go ahead and open our book. What's the conference title? Do you guys remember? It's pretty simple. Life and Building. So as the brothers shared last night, you know, these two things go together. In the Bible, life and building. Actually, you see in very simple way last night that in Genesis, the first two chapters, you have this garden and you have little hints there. There's going to be some elements, some items that are going to be for the building. And when you get to the end of the Bible, you find out, wow, these precious stones, this gold, this pearl, all of them have been built up into a heavenly city. So in God's economy, in God's plan, it's not only about life, it's about building. We should enjoy Christ as life. Without it, you can't have the building. But if you don't have the building, then you're not actually touching the goal of God's desire. We have to get to the building. And the building is not a shared. It's not a building, okay? It is an organic building. And the way this building is built up is by us growing and enjoying life. And really, that happens when God mingles himself with us. Isn't that amazing? You're going to hear this word mingling a lot in this conference, okay? Hopefully, little by little, you're realizing, wow, God, the very God of the universe, wants to mingle himself with me. Amen. He wants to be not only involved in what I do, but he wants to be involved in me. Amen. He wants to be in me, mingling with me. Okay, so this message, we come to a dream. Okay, let's read the title of the message. Do you have it there in front of you, message two? Go ahead. Okay, so I don't know how much we know about Genesis chapter 28. How many of you have read through the book of Genesis? Okay, good. I don't know if that's half, but... Well, so maybe you don't have much context for Genesis chapter 28. I'm not sure. There's a dream, and this dream is had by Jacob. Do you guys know who Jacob was? Mm-hmm. Who was his father? Isaac. Who was his grandfather? Abraham. So it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? Jacob. I love the story of Jacob, and I think a lot of you probably will learn to love the story of Jacob. So maybe we can go ahead and go to the next slide. Well, actually, let's all read this verse together, because that's fine, brothers. That's fine. It's okay. It's on the next slide, verse 12. Let's go ahead and read a little bit about the story of this dream. Okay, so all together, the title, which is the title in your outline as well, so you can read that title. Go ahead. Okay, so you may not realize this is what this dream is about, but this is what it's about God himself bringing heaven and earth, joining them together, bringing himself to earth and joining earth to heaven. Okay, so let's have sisters on 11, 12, and 13. Okay, go ahead. It's in your, oh no, this one's not in your outline. Sorry, you have to look up here. Okay, so this is the dream that he had, okay? Can you imagine this man walking? Actually, if you read the context, I'll tell you a little bit about what was going on there. Wandering, trying to journey to another land that he hadn't been to before, and he stops to rest because it got dark, and he has to sleep. And what does he find? What does it say? A stone. How many of you have used a stone for a pillow? Really? Okay, was it comfortable?
I mean, once you got used to it.
Okay, I don't know if we can sleep more than 10 minutes on a stone. I'm not sure. My head would get a little sore there. But what has to happen for you to go sleep on a pillow? I mean, sleep on a stone as a pillow. What has to be the circumstances, okay? Does anybody know what his circumstances were at this time? You do? What was he doing?
He was running away because he thought his brother was
going to
murder him.
Exactly. He was running. And you know why he was running? Why? You know why his brother was trying to murder him? Because Jacob was naughty. Jacob was a naughty boy. And he, this Jacob, had already tricked his brother, not once, but twice. He had already stolen his birthright by basically finding his brother in a desperate situation and being like, hey, I'll give you this bowl of beans if you give me your birthright. And his brother's so desperate, he's like, okay, fine. Okay. Then he tricked him again by fooling his father Isaac to make him think that he was Esau so that he would get the blessing. Jacob was a naughty boy, okay? I want you to be impressed with this. And I'm going to read you a couple of verses from the chapter before. So I'll read you 35, 36, 41, and 43 from chapter 27. So verse 35 says, and this was Isaac talking to Esau, and he said, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, Is he not rightfully named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Asking Isaac. And then fast forward to 41, after Isaac blesses him. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will slay my brother. That was Esau. He's ready to kill him, right? And then 43, and this is Jacob's mom speaking to him, saying, therefore, my son, obey my voice now and rise up and flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran. Okay, so he's in a fleeing situation. His brother's going to kill him because he had treated his brother wrongfully. Jacob was wrong in what he did, right? He was deceitful. And so he was fleeing from him. So in this desperate situation, this fleeing situation, where does he find himself? Sleeping in the wilderness, using a rock for a pillow. He's in a desperate situation. I don't know. I don't know why he found a rock. Did he not even have a jacket that he could have used and put it there? Why? Well, here's what I want you to be impressed with. Jacob saw this vision. The vision wasn't given to Isaac. It wasn't given to Abraham. All these people that we hold very highly, like, oh, Father Abraham, he should have seen this vision. No, this vision was given to a destitute, homeless Jacob, naughty Jacob. Okay? So some of you in this meeting might think, oh, I don't belong here. You know, all these sisters, they're so good. They're not, but you think they are. You know, they're so good. And I'm so naughty. I just don't fit. I just feel like I don't feel at home here. I don't feel at home there. Okay, you're the perfect one to see the vision. You can see this vision. Okay? This vision of God's desire to join the heavens and the earth. We're just like Jacob. I identify with Jacob a lot, and I think actually we all do. And if you don't yet, you will, okay? He was the naughty one. He was the wanderer. Okay, he was also homeless. So let's read, I'll read it to you to just go quickly. Genesis 28 reveals that both God and man were homeless. So I just showed you how Jacob was homeless. Did you know God is homeless? Did you know that? He's actually homeless. In Isaiah 66, he tells us, he says, I have heavens as my throne, and the earth is my footstool. But where am I going to find my place of rest? That's what he says. Where am I going to find my place of rest? And then he asks, kind of rhetorically, will you build a house for me? But then if you go to the next verse, verse 2, it says, to this man will I look. To this man will I look. He's actually homeless. Without man, God is homeless. Did you realize that? You thought, oh, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man so that we can kind of run around like ants and we're like in a little experiment. That's not what he was doing. There was a divine plan. He wanted a home. Did you realize he created man to be his dwelling place? He did. That's why he created us with a spirit. We'll see that here in a little bit. Okay, so after Jacob, let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Let's read a little bit more. And let's go ahead and read these verses as well. So this is, we skipped a few verses of Jacob speaking, and now we're going to jump back into what happened after he saw this vision. Okay, go ahead and go. Give me a bottle of water.
I do not know him. And then he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of the heavens. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had cut from under his head. And he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it.
So a couple of significant things here, and I'll skip over a few because I think at the end, Ben's going to touch on some of this as well. But, okay, so he wakes up from this dream. He saw this ladder joining the heavens and the earth. He wakes up from the dream, and, you know, his response is he was afraid. He was like, how awesome is this place? And that word awesome is not like, you know, the slang version of like, awesome. It's like terrible. Like, how dreadful is this place? I mean, in an amazing kind of way. Whoa! It's so amazing that it's scary, in a sense. So he was afraid, okay? But I also want to point out here that he took this stone that he had for his pillow, and he put it upright and made it a pillar. So the pillow, which was his rest, became the pillar. And then he poured the oil over it. You know, the oil in the Bible always signifies the Spirit. We don't have time to get into all the typology here, but I just want you to be impressed. The pillow became the pillar. That stone, which was his resting place, became the pillar. Pillar, like for building, right? He pours the oil on it, and then he names that place the house of God. That's what Bethel means, the house of God. Did he see a house? Did he see a house in this vision? What did he see in his vision? A ladder joining the heavens and the earth. Listen, this is the first time God had ever unveiled something that was deep in his heart to man. And he did it to Jacob in a dream. It's like, one brother was sharing last night, it's like the Lord has all these things hidden in his heart and he just can't help but let them out. Every now and then he lets the cat out of the bag like, oh, I have to show him something. I have to show man this little picture of what's in my heart. So he gives him a dream. And the dream is the heavens and the earth are joined together. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amen. And he gave that dream to Jacob. Okay, so Jacob, I don't know why he had the interpretation, house of God. It must have been something divinely inspired. But he said, this is none other than the house of God. And he had two responses. Dreadful, right? But the fact that he would just honor it as the house of God meant that he was so impressed by this, right? This probably burned a vision within him. Okay, our experience is very similar. When you come to the house of God, let's say the church, let's say the gathering of the called out ones, okay? Let's not talk in terms of necessarily church meetings. Let's talk in terms of the gathering of the called out ones. That's what the church is, right? Have you ever come to the church meetings and felt like, this is a dreadful place? Not like, this is awesome, but like, this is terrible. Have you ever felt like that? Okay, I'll answer for you. I have. There's been times that I've been in conditions where I just don't want to be among the saints, you know? I just feel like, I can't be there. It's almost like, you know, the light's shining there. The Lord's presence is there. Heaven and earth are joined there. If I go there, God's going to be there. And I'm not in any condition to be around God right now. I'm a mess, right? Okay, sometimes we do feel like that. But What do you feel like when you've spent, let's say, 20 minutes among the saints, 30 minutes among the saints, the whole day with the saints, a whole weekend with the saints? How do you feel afterwards? Are you like, that was a dreadful place? Do you leave a meeting? Maybe. I mean, I don't want to, don't answer if you do. But I don't know. I don't think there's been very many meetings that I've left feeling like, that was terrible. Usually, I feel at rest. I feel like all the things that were weighing me down, that I was scared to bring to the Lord, that I was scared to bring among the saints, I get with the saints, and yeah, there's some light. Sometimes there's some light, there's some shining. But you know what that does? It brings me into a state of rest. And you know why we feel restful when we're with the brothers and sisters, while we're with the saints? Because God's at rest. Here is where we get to meet with God, not the dreadful God who's ready to smite us. You know, why would he give that dream to Jacob, that naughty boy? He's not worried about how naughty you are. Sometimes we, and I know because I grew up in the church life as well, we limit the Lord because we think, oh, I can't go to the Lord right now. I'm not in the right condition. I'm not like the other sisters. Have you ever said that? Yes, I know. I've said it too. I'm not like the other brothers. Okay, forget about it. We're all the same. We're all the same. We are all sinners. And if you come to the saints, or if you come to the house of God, you will find rest. Amen. Guaranteed, you will find rest. Okay, I got to keep moving because I have some testimonies, some experiences I want to share here toward the end. Let's go ahead and go to read Roman numeral 2 all together. Okay, brothers, you can go to the next slide. Here's the ladder. Here it comes. The ladder. It's a very different looking ladder, right? That's the ladder. That's the Lord Jesus himself. He's the ladder. I don't have time to get into Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2, if we get into it, I will just lose all my time there. It's packed. Okay, actually, in the next message, we'll get into it even more, message 3. But what I want you to see is that's the ladder. That's the ladder. You know, in John, and all these verses come from John, you see John is actually a book of life and building. We're going to see that here in message 4, I believe we start seeing that. But in John, you just see step by step the process that the Lord went through was all to bring God into man. But you also see that he also came to bring man into God. So in verse 51, this is the very beginning of John. It's in your outline too. Let's all read that together. Do you think that the Jews, which all of the disciples were at that time, do you think the Jews knew what he was referring to when he said that? Absolutely. Everyone in the Jewish faith knew the story of Jacob and knew the story of the ladder. And he boldly said to them, you will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He was saying, I'm the ladder. That dream that Jacob saw, here it is. I'm the ladder. And you're going to see the angels of heaven ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Again, I don't have time to get into all the verses, but you have to be impressed. That process that you see, that wire diagram that we're so familiar with, that is the ladder. Step by step, he was bringing God to man. And then you turn. It's not one way. Remember, it's ascending and descending, okay? U-turn. Now he's bringing man to God. So let's read John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way. Amen. So no one comes to the Father except through him. So he is the way, the reality, and the life. Sorry, let me just see what the timer is. Okay. He's the heavenly ladder. And there's one thing I wanted you to be impressed with, and that is, you know, sometimes we don't really think about the process that the Lord went through. But, and I think you're going to hear this more in the next message, but, you know, the fact that he had to die for us, do you realize that's part of the process? That's part of the process of him being the ladder. If he didn't die for our sins, we would have no way to be brought back to God. We wouldn't have a way. So in a sense, you know, that barrier of that dreadful, oh, this is a dreadful place. You know, there's some shining because we're not right. In our being, we are all fallen. We are all sinners. But praise the Lord, we have the blood of Christ. Part of the process of him becoming the ladder is that he died for us. That's what makes it a two-way ladder. We can come to God. Forget about your sins. All you have to say is, Lord, forgive me. And he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can return back to God. So that's what I'm going to leave you. I hope you see, whenever you read this picture in Genesis chapter 28, you don't think of, actually, I was looking for pictures last night for the slides. I was looking, should I get a picture of a ladder going to the heavens? I was like, that looks so silly, like a ladder. And then I was like, no, this is the ladder. I don't want you to think of a straight line ladder anymore. When you read this chapter, I want you to think, ah, the wire diagram, that's the ladder. Actually, I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to spend a little time here. Actually, our experience back to God is very similar. You know, a lot of times we touch him in a resurrection before we go to the death, right? We have to be brought into resurrection so that we would be conformed to his death. And then as we're conformed to his death, a certain living begins to come out of us, his living. And then as his living becomes to shine out of us, we are being made God little by little by little. So actually, our process going back to God is the other way around. Anyway, okay, I'll just leave you with that. The last point I want to read. So we're going to skip down. We talked about incarnation, death, resurrection. We believe in the Lord. Basically the wire diagram, okay? And then we read the verse of John 14. Now skip down to E, and let's all read that together. So this is where we both find rest, is in the mingling. Do you feel restless? How many of you feel restless at times? It happens all the time, right? Actually, I keep myself busy so I don't feel restless. That's kind of my nature. But we all feel restless at times, especially when we feel like we're far off from God. We feel restless. I would say what I look at when I see young people, not just you, I'm talking about young people in the world, and I was in education for many years, and I had a lot of experience with this. I see restlessness. I see young people who feel like they don't fit, like they're trying to fit, like they're trying to make sense of who they are, and they're just restless. Don't you sense that? Even among your friends, you may not see it as much because you're right in the thick of it. And you might think, oh, they have it all together. They're so cool. No, they're not. They are restless. They are restless within. More restless than you are. Okay. We feel like that as adults as well. But what I want to impress you with is this mingling. When you touch Christ as life in your spirit and the Spirit of God is mingled with your spirit, you know what you have? Rest. This is the place of our rest. So when you have that restless feeling within, you need to turn to your spirit. That's the place where the ladder is joined, okay? Okay, let's look at the last slide. I think it's the last one. I can't remember. Yeah, it's the last slide. Before I do that, let me share a couple of experiences, and then we'll go to this point here. This is the last point on the outline. You know, when I was your age, I was high school, junior in high school, actually, and very similar to most of you, and I was very caught up, like Obi, with my friends. My friends were everything to me, and baseball, everything to me. And I remember having this experience, and some of you may have heard me share this testimony before if you're in Austin, so bear with me. But I remember having this experience my sophomore year, just struggling with the Lord. Actually, it may have been the summer between my sophomore and junior year, struggling with the Lord at a conference, and I just saw something. I saw something heavenly. That's all I could say. I don't even remember what I saw, but it was heavenly. And I was so impressed. But inwardly, I just had this sense, but I'm going to go back. The school year is going to start, and I'm just going to be with my friends, and I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to choose that because I love that so much, and I had to be honest with the Lord. And I remember telling some of the brothers, I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to go back, and I'm just going to get immersed my friends with baseball, and I'm going to go off from the Lord. I already know it. Please pray for me. I remember asking them to pray for me. And you know what happened? I was restless that whole year, restless. And even in the midst of that year, I had this prayer to the Lord, very genuine prayer, and it was just simply this: Lord, I do love you, but I love the world, and I love this. I love my friends. I love everything I'm doing, and I'm so tired of going back and forth. Lord, don't let me go. But I had the sense in saying, don't let me go, that I'm going to go towards that. Friends, baseball, I'm just going to go for that. It was too hard for me, struggling back and forth. So I'm not saying you should pray this, because I also know many young people who went after those things and never, to this day, still are somewhat wandering. Okay, so you have to be before the Lord in how you pray and the decisions you make. I'm just sharing my testimony with you, okay? And time went on. I, you know, may have gone to some meetings here and there, maybe a conference, but I was kind of going more and more and more the direction of wandering in the world. And then in my junior year of college, so fast forward 4 years, my junior year of college, some things happened. And one of the things that happened, actually two, I encountered two brothers who I had grown up with, my age. One was from Austin, one was from San Antonio, the UT campus. And I'll tell you, sister, I saw the house of God. When I saw them, I saw a ladder. So one brother, he was riding his bike on the campus, and he was, this is before ministrybooks.org. he was riding his bike on the campus, and he was riding his bike with one hand and holding a green book in the other hand. And he was my age. He was getting off his bike, and I was walking, and he was like, Zeke, hey, brother, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. And like, I must have been looking at his eyes, but I kept on looking at the green book, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you carrying that green book around? That seems so strange. I knew what it was. It was a life study. And he was like, oh, brother, I'm going to go meet with Brother Neil. We're going to read in the Genesis life study. And I was like, okay. All right, bro. Good to see you. But you know what I saw? It was an awesome sight. Inwardly, I was convicted. Inwardly, I was just like, he's reading a life study with a full-timer? With Neil Wolfson, nonetheless. Like you know, Neil, like there's full-timers, and then there's, don't tell him I said this, then there's Brother Neil, okay? That was back in my day when I was a college student. That's the way I looked at it. There was like, you know, full-timers, and there was like Neil and Tim, and you know, I was like, those are real, okay? Serious full-timers. So like the fact that he was gonna go meet with him, I was just like, whoa! Okay, he didn't know it. I probably just say, all right, man, see you later, you know? You do you, whatever they say, you know, and I'm just going on my way. But inwardly, I was in turmoil. I just touched the house of God. I knew I had touched something. There was heaven and earth were joined in that brother. Seriously, it affected me. Next time, I'm walking on the campus, and these two occurrences happened like within a month of each other. This was the Lord coming to me. This was the Lord coming to me in my naughty situation and giving me a dream, okay? And then I'm walking on the campus, and it seemed like, I don't know what time of the day it was, but it seemed like nobody was on the campus. And I was walking down a street, and there's just two brothers walking towards me. And I felt like there was nobody else on the campus except us two. And they're just walking around, and I'm walking closer to them, and I realize, hey, it's another brother I know. And so I was like, hey, and I was excited to see him, of course, but he's walking with another brother. He's walking with Tim C. And they walk up to me, and we start chatting, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, we're just out preaching the gospel. And they have Mystery of Human Life tracts in their hand. Oh my goodness, that was worse than the other brother. I was like, you're preaching the gospel with Tim C? Like, I didn't say this. I was probably like, okay, cool, yeah, all right. That's good. Good to see you, brothers. But when I walked off from that time, my whole being was in turmoil. I had touched the house of God, and I didn't even realize it. I felt like, oh my goodness, these are brothers that I grew up with that brother. And he's out preaching the gospel with Tim C. And I'm doing this, I'm living like this, I'm not following the Lord at all. It was like contrast, and I just, oh my whole being was in turmoil at that point. And I just began to pray, little by little, pray. And my prayer, you know what my prayer was? Lord, don't leave me behind. That's what my prayer was. I didn't know what else to pray. I just realized they're going on with the Lord, and I'm not. Okay, I don't have time to get into all my testimony because it gets more. There's more to it. I'll share a little bit more tonight, maybe, after Brother Tom shares. So I'll fast forward here. I started coming back little by little, started meeting with the brothers. And, oh, those were such sweet times. But the Lord had answered my prayer and kind of turned my whole life upside down. And I was just in a wandering situation outwardly. But I'll tell you what, sisters, every time I got with the brothers in that situation that I was in that turmoil that I was in, you know what I found? Every time, rest. Every time I found rest. Outwardly, if I got too much in my situation, I was depressed, just depressed for months. But inwardly, when I got with the saints, rest. So don't be depressed. Find rest. Get to your spirit and get with the saints. Amen. That's where you're going to find a place of rest. Okay, I think only like 5 more minutes left here. And let's go ahead and read this point. Or did we already read it? No, okay, let's read this point. It's in your outline as well. Okay, so you may not realize this, but each one of you, just like those brothers that I encounter on the campus, you're like a little Bethel. I mean, corporately, we are the house of God. But really, in Isaiah 66, it says, to this man I will look. So you, each one of you, you're a little house of God. And there's a ladder connected to you. You didn't realize it, did you? You're walking around like I'm just me, myself, and I. But you're actually joined to the heavens. There's a ladder that's being joined, that's joining you to God at all times. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So you are little Bethels. And when wandering ones, your friends, your family members, those who you encounter, your jobs and at school, they're wandering. And they have an opportunity to touch Bethel with you. You can be to them the house of God. You can be to them the place of rest. And if you're too afraid to do that by yourself, bring them with all the saints and let them find rest, okay? And then 1 Corinthians, you know, when some come among you and they come to a prophesying meeting maybe, they come and hear those who are joined to the heavens begin to speak something. When the mouth opens, the heart comes out and they realize, who are these people? They're speaking words that I've never heard before. Just like they said to the Lord, right? They speak words that we've never heard before. Who are these people? God is among them. Inwardly, they're convicted. Inwardly, they get shining. But guess what? They also find rest. Okay, one more story. And I can't say names here, and I probably can't even say too much detail, just in case the brothers, I don't know where he is, I haven't talked to him in many, many, many years, but it's a little bit of a sensitive topic, so I'm going to be careful how I share this. That's my timer. Okay, so I'm serving full-time at this time on the campus, and we're having a welcoming meeting, I think it was, like a welcome meeting at the beginning of the semester. This is back when we had these big welcome meetings. We would pass out flyers to the campus, and we'd invite all these college students to come join the welcome meeting. Well, we're starting the welcome meeting, and some of us were outside in front, and we were trying to kind of get people at the last minute. Hey, we're having a welcome meeting. You want to come in and join us? And all of a sudden, it just starts to pour. I mean, it really starts to pour, where people are kind of running to try to find cover, and it was a sudden type of rain. Here's this brother, he wasn't a brother at the time. Here's this young man, and he's running, but he's running towards us. So I'm thinking in my head that he's running to the welcome meeting. He knew where he was going, but he was just running to get out of the rain. I didn't know this. So I was like, hey, come on in, come on in. And I'm holding the door, and I'm like, are you coming to the welcome meeting? And he was just like, yeah. And he just ran in, and I started talking to him, and he's looking around, and he sees like food spread on a table, and he's just kind of looking like wondering what's going on here. He was trying to get out of the rain, and he ran into a welcome meeting. And so I was just like, oh yeah, come on in, you can go grab a plate, you know. I thought he was there for the welcome meeting, so I'm treating him like, oh yeah, grab a plate, go ahead and grab him. And I was gonna ask him like, who invited you? And so I'm just walking with him, we're grabbing food. I asked him, who invited you? He was like, oh, nobody. So I was like, okay, maybe he was not coming to the welcome meeting. But he came in. He sat down, he ate, we talked, and he's just sitting there. He stays for the meeting afterwards and the brothers' fellowship. And then at the end, they asked if, you know, we're going to pray. If any of you who would like to pray to receive the Lord, please repeat after me. And I see him with his eyes closed, and it wasn't just like, you know, repeating just because everyone's supposed to repeat. I see him with his eyes closed, and he's like serious, and he's repeating after the brother, and he prays, and I realize he's praying to receive the Lord. And so anyway, I started talking to him. We got to know each other. I found out that, in fact, he was not there for a welcome meeting. He was there to get out of the rain. He ran into the welcome meeting, and he received the Lord. Okay, that's not all. After weeks of talking to him, and even months, I realized there's something going on with this brother. He is in turmoil within. He is struggling. And I found out that he actually was living a homosexual lifestyle. And after receiving the Lord, he was burning within. He didn't know how to handle this, and he finally opened it up to me. And he just said, I don't know what to do. I just feel like I can't live like that anymore. What I experienced with you guys is so real. I just can't live like that anymore. I had never talked to him about it. I had no idea. I had zero idea. And then he's telling me, you know, his living situation and all this stuff. Eventually, he moved out of that living situation. He moved in with some brothers. Little by little, he's just getting fed. He had to leave the country. He was from another country. He had to leave the country and go back to his home country. You know what he did as soon as he got back? He got in contact with the saints. Wow. And he called me months later. I'm in the church in, and won't say the place. I'm meeting with the saints in such and such place. I'm telling you, sisters, I'm telling you, this place is an awesome place. Amen. And it's the place where man, even the naughtiest among us, can find rest. And guess what? God is so happy. He's so restful. I guarantee the Lord was so happy to find a place of rest in that brother. I don't know what came of him because we lost contact, and it's probably been about 12, 15 years since I've talked to him. But I will never forget that experience of this wandering one, finding a place of rest in the house of God. Okay, Ben, I went over a few minutes, but hopefully it left you some time.
Amen. working? All right. Okay. So I just want to touch a few points and share something too, real quick. And if we have time, we'll have time for you to speak, or we might have some time later this morning, okay? So going back to Genesis 28, brothers in the slides, if you go back to slide 8, I think, where we have Genesis 28, 18. Yeah, right there. You know, I was touched by this. This story is so wonderful because it matches our experience. You know, I'm just reading 18 and a little bit of 19 to you again. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head, right? And he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And then if you look at, I really appreciate Zeke put 22a there. And this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house. So not only the place, like the location, the geographic location, but that stone was God's house. Okay. Like, okay. Not that impressed, huh? Okay. It's very significant that he called the stone Bethel. Okay. The stone, which is Bethel, right, according to these verses, that stone, that was the resting place of the wanderer. Yeah. Jacob's a wanderer. He's the conniving wanderer. And he had a resting place. That resting place became the house of God. Amen. So where is the resting place for man? It's the dwelling place of God. Yes. This is where man rests. Where man rests, God dwells. The real rest is where God dwells. And further, this little point, he poured oil on it. You have to realize every detail in the Bible is significant. The fact that the pillow became the pillar is significant. And then the fact that he poured oil on it, this is significant. What is oil? Oil in the Bible really usually represents the Spirit, okay? When he poured oil on it, it became a house. So when we come to the Lord, we are the living stones. Right? Who are being built up as a spiritual house in spirit, by the Spirit, and with the Spirit. I was considering even John 1:51. We'll get into this later. But, you know, there's this matter of the ladder, right? Right before that, he tells Peter, his name was Simon. We call him Peter. But his name was Simon. He says, you are Cephas, which is interpreted Peter. He said, you are stone. Yeah. So this matter of the ladder and the stone, right there in John. John was pointing this out. The stone and the ladder go together. Yeah. Saints, sisters, you're a stone. The oil has been poured out. Amen. So this is our rest. So individually there's a rest, okay? If we want rest, you're struggling. You know, I don't know if you've seen the statistics. Anxiety and depression and even suicide have gone way up since the pandemic started. Especially among your age group, okay? Massively. Among females, even more than males. I've seen the statistics. I have three girls, so I'm concerned about these things. They're not. Some of you know them. I'm concerned about them. How will they grow up? You're anxious. You're troubled by things. It seems like with everything, with the social media particularly, all the things, it's like anxiety has like been turned up and cranked up. Just more and more. Come, be anxious, be anxious, be anxious, be anxious. Be troubled, be troubled, be troubled. How are you going to find rest? Where's our rest? Saints, our rest is in the church life. Amen. In the place where God dwells. Amen. I know I'm going to say that to you, but let me tell you from my experience. Okay, when I was in high school, a little bit different from Zeke. When I was in high school, I was with the saints all the time. I grew up in Irving, Texas. There was a ton of saints. We all went to the same junior high, we went to the same high school, right? All the time. I didn't know I was actually at rest most of that time. But then I went to college. I got into a good school. And my parents had gone there. There were saints in the city, so I went. But there was no brothers on my campus. And I moved into the dorm. And I remember I tried to go to a college meeting, and I got lost and ended up in Third Ward in the middle of the night. We didn't have cell phones, GPS. I was scared to take out my map, but I finally did because I needed to get back. And I just drove home. If you don't know where Third Ward is, anyway, it's fine in the daytime most of the time, but at night, it's a little scary. And it's really close to the U of H, and so I was trying to get where the brothers were, but I got lost. So, but, you know, I didn't I was with all these people in school. I was playing sports. I liked soccer and other stuff. And I had social friends, people that were like me, finally. Like, it was like, wow, this is great. I'm going to have a good time. And the brothers, yeah, I want to be in the meetings. And I got out of the habit of going to meetings. I would go to the Lord's Day, but especially being with the saints. So I built up a network, and you may have this already with your friends. There was with my friends. I was playing sports, intramural, then I started playing soccer. And I was with these people all the time. And I thought, man, these are my friends. You know, these are my buddies. And I wanted to be with whatever they were doing. Most of them were not. Hardly any of them were Christians, much less. I mean, and they were fallen people. And I didn't know it, but after a while, I started to realize, I'm troubled. And I went, we know him for years. I was just troubled. And I was down. I would get so down. I mean, school was hard. I was studying electrical engineering. It was hard. You know, so I'd be so down. And I still would get with the saints because I love the saints, but I would get with them. But, you know, the first time I started to find rest is some saints invited me over to have dinner Thursday nights. They lived close to the campus so I could make it. That was a problem. I lived in Houston, and it was far. A lot of the saints lived really far away. I couldn't drive to their house. Took me 10 minutes just to get to my car in the parking lot, much less, you know, I'm like thinking, oh, by the time I drive there, I'm going to miss a whole hour of studying. Wait till you get to college, it's like that. You have to study all the time. And but I would start to go to the house, and I realized, man, I really like to be with these people. I didn't want to leave. My friends were doing their things, but like, man, I just want to stay with these people. I just want to stay with them. What was that, saints? I was touching rest. It wasn't in a big meeting. Yes, I did get rest in the meeting. I mean, I did. I enjoyed it. But, like, my rest was just sitting around their house eating dinner. Eventually, I think the brother was trying to take care of me. We'd start reading a little bit of the ministry before dessert. And, of course, you know, I want to stay for dessert. So we would read a little bit. I remember we started reading the Tree of Life, right? We read the Tree of Life, that book we got into in the spring, right? So we were reading that. So something was getting in. And then eventually, they started to have full-timers on campus, and I started meeting. Again, I got some little rest. Just that little hour with them was a rest. Amen. It was a rest. And eventually, the Lord, you know, when you start opening, he tells you, you just start to realize, Lord, that same situation, experience you had, Lord, this is attracting me from, and I know it's not from you. And I love you, and I know this is rest, but I don't know what to do. Eventually, the Lord worked it all out. I can't tell you, but he just really exposed what that really was. That was not rest. Those people didn't care about me. They didn't, not at all. When I got into trouble, they were gone. Gone. You know, good luck. You know. And so eventually you just realize that the real rest, I just want to leave that with you. My experience is the real rest is the church life. Yes, go. You get rest in the Lord's table. Trust me. Week by week, I get rest in the Lord's table. I get rest in the prophesying time, but find this sister. It doesn't have to be a big meeting. Yeah. It could be a dinner with the saints. It could be meeting a brother to read a life study. Amen. Or sister. You should meet a sister and read a life study. Sorry. For me, brother, right? Okay. You there's rest there. Eventually, I was my last year of college, and a sister asked me, Ben, what's your favorite thing to do? And it made me consider. It was probably a simple question. She probably expected a simple answer, but you know, normally I would have said, maybe a year ago, I'd love to play soccer. But something didn't stop me. No. I enjoy playing exercise. I still play soccer. It's fun. But that doesn't fulfill me. Like, and neither does hanging out with friends or neither doing an exciting thing. You go to a theme park. How do you feel at the end of the day? Empty. Because you had your thrill and then it's over. And it's the same thing. I play soccer, but it's over. Doesn't leave me with anything. I got some exercise, good. But, like, what gives us rest? I realized, I finally told her, I really like singing with the saints. Amen. Going in an evening and singing with the saints for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, that is the best thing I could ever think of at that time. That was just, still, if I had time to do that, I would. Because, wow, that was just, I was considering, that's what makes me happy. Amen. I love to be with the saints and exercise my spirit in a simple way. Anyway, so I hope I could leave that with you, is that this experience of Genesis 28 is our experience. Amen. We can come and get rest with the saints. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, I went a little longer than I expected. Right now, we have a break. So what we're considering is, so we'll have a break. If you look at your schedule, we have a break from 11:15 to 11:30. Okay, we'll come back after that. So if y'all can be back here by 11:30, we'll start singing. Right? I enjoy singing. We'll get back, enjoy some singing. Then we'll do some break in groups and read. Okay, does everybody have, everybody has a book, right? Yeah, we'll do some reading. And then we'd like to leave some time at the end of the reading. So we'll read for maybe half an hour and then come back and we can share what you got from this time, what Brother Zeke shared, and what you got in your reading. Hopefully there will be something in you for about 15 minutes. You have something to share a little bit, okay? So in your reading, consider maybe what did I enjoy? Okay. You can take your break.
Number 40 was called A Little Secret. Any song that you call, we will sing. So you don't have to ask, just say, let's sing number 40.
G2.
Bye. was saying, K-foot-2. Yeah. Staying on G2? Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Church life is regarded.